Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with Jorge Gonzalez. And my guest today is attorney Andres Lopez. We're talking about the experience as the head of the Harvard admissions process here for Puerto Rico. You also have headed the Harvard Club for some 4 or 5 years after Ken Nedry, who basically, as far as I can remember, was Mr. Harvard here in Puerto Rico. What have you done differently, and what have you tried to do in terms of the Harvard Club?
Well, you know, first of all, I need to point out, just as you did, that Ken Nedry, you know, I don't have a memory of Harvard growing up that did not involve Ken. He was both the president of the Harvard Club and the head of the admissions process. At the time, he then relinquished the Harvard Club helmet, and then the Harvard Club sort of, you know, let's just say was dormant.
Dormant is a good word. Dead, dormant, inactive.
So, right. So one of the things I did when he passed on is that I took a spot in the admissions office, but I also wanted to try my hand at maybe restoring some of the luster that the Harvard Club, in my mind, had. When he had it, you know, a couple of decades ago. And one of the things that I've striven to do, and now, you know, we're sort of hitting our stride, is, you know, there's a program that, you know, it's there for every club every year that brings a professor from Harvard to give a talk to the club. And, you know, the folks at Harvard will defray a substantial amount of the cost. Yeah, it's a fantastic resource. So, for example, this month we're going to have a professor come talk about his vision for the year 2030. So, you know, that's coupled with just getting the folks from the club back together. I mean, there's a list that is fairly long. When you take, and Ken actually was a bit particular about this, he insisted that only those who had graduated from the college really could be members of the club. With apologies to him, you know, I think that anybody who's graduated from any of the Harvard schools, you know, it should be at least getting, you know, the notices of the club's activities. And in fact, many people, you know, do. It's a fairly robust list. I mean, you know, maybe about 1,000 strong now. And so, you know, the idea, like everything else, is, you know, the power of the network can be huge, and especially one like Harvard's. But a lot of people didn't even know that I may have known, of course, we know each other, as you said, from the fact that, you know, we're both lawyers, but there may have been a doctor or an architect that I didn't even know was back in town. Mm-hmm. And so this has given people the ability to rekindle past friendships, and, you know, that's an important component.
Comment is that I found some people who have gone through the executive program, which is about a 6-week program, yeah. And they have the Harvard tie, and they feel
they really love the experience.
They really feel part of Harvard, and Lord, I mean, you know, they've been very, very successful. Usually, to get into the program, you have to be successful. Yeah, we have to bring in all those people. But as part of the Harvard experience, and in terms of what has developed you into, tell us, you know, a lot of us know you as the person who has been really heading the Obama campaign and for both campaigns. And I think you raised over $30 million for this one. And now you're spending about almost half of your time in, you know, dealing with a Democratic Party matters. How did you get into it, and how was Harvard related to that? You're getting into this marriage. Were you always a political science fiend, or this is something that just kind of came up at the last moment?
You know, it's interesting because Harvard did play a large role in how this all came about. I was actually a government major in Harvard, so I always was interested in the field, but I had never, you know, I really went the track of just a, you know, a lawyer in private practice, and was just fully going along with my career when this opportunity came along. What happened was that at the Harvard Law School level in 2007, in the spring, really very shortly after now President Obama had indicated his intent to become a candidate, we had our first ever reunion of Latino alumni from the law school, and I was one of the organizers. And that brought me to Cambridge during that time. And so while there at Harvard, one of my mentors from the time when I worked in Boston, who also happens to be a Harvard graduate, again, the power of those connections, invited me to brunch. And, you know, we're friends. So it was just a casual conversation, no topic really in mind, like you do when you're just hanging out.
Or at least you thought there was.
Or so I thought. And, you know, towards the tail end of the conversation, he just mentioned in passing, like you say, or did he?
We'll never know. And he will never tell the truth.
I'm fully appreciative. I mean, yeah, if it was, look, I love the guy. And I every chance I get, I thank him very publicly. His name is Joe Steinfield, and he knows it. You know, I love him. Had he not done that, but the fact that he put me on track to do something as uniquely remarkable as this great journey is something else. So, you know, he says, look, I've joined the New England steering committee for, you know, this senator who's running for president. Of course, this story sounds good now, but at the time, talking about the, you know, long shot of long shots. I of course remembered, the now President Obama. You know, he was the first African American president of the Harvard Law Review, so that, you know, that was fairly newsworthy. And we coincided. I was a sophomore and a junior at the college when he was coming out of law school, because he, you know, he took that famous detour into community organizing between college and law school. So even though he's substantially older than I am, I want to make sure that everybody understands. We were there at the same time. So,
but you have gray hairs just like him.
I know, and he reminds me every time. The other thing is, like, he's the president. What's my excuse, right? You know?
So it's incredible how people become president within 6 months. The gray hairs start coming out.
Those pictures, right?
It's incredible.
And they
love those,
you know, before and after.
It's incredible.
And it's incredible.
And
it's true.
Is that what happened to you when you got involved with Obama?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to fault him. Oh, man.
I don't have any excuse for going bald. I can't remember any decisive moments.
What can you do? But anyway, what I told my mentor, what I told Joe, is, you know, listen, that sounds very flattering, but, you know, I've never done this before. I wouldn't even know the first thing or how to go about it. And, you know, to his great credit, and I'll be eternally grateful for that, he said, you know what, we worked together, I saw you do things, you know, you'll figure it out. Famous last words, right? And so that started a lengthy process of me actually trying to figure out, you know, how did one go about trying to put something together. And when what he actually suggested was that I try to bring Obama down to Puerto Rico for an event, which you know, took a while to put together, but eventually, you know, somebody put their faith in me. And I should say also that someone I didn't know, but was also knocking on the door without my knowledge. And then ultimately we came together and became good friends. Mary Helen Morrow also was a terribly important person at the outset. And then we had a big event in November 5th, 2007, at the Contemporary Museum of Art here in Santurce, the old Labra High School. And, you know, it went well, and it was a great success. And, you know, President Obama, you know, was happy. He left happy. And so I thought, well, great. You know, this is my contribution to the campaign.
People said that you had played basketball with him, but that never happened. Not before you met him.
No. What happens is that, you know, he is a basketball, you know,
fanatic.
Like me, a freak. And you know, we used to play a lot of basketball together. So, you know.
But you didn't remember him when they talked about Obama and all with Steinfeld. They didn't remember him.
When we were back there, of course. But, you know, what I always convey is, like, you know, you never think that the guy you're playing hoops with is going to be the leader of the free world. Yeah. So, you know, there's no benefit to be gained.
But did you have a friendship with him?
No, not a friendship. Nothing of the sort.
It was a pickup game, and you saw him. And,
exactly,
you know,
exactly.
You pat him in the back when he had a good shot. And
oh, my God. And if anybody thinks that gained me any... Yeah, I had to start on the basement floor. There's no inherent advantage of, you know, like everything else in life, you know, it's you got to work for it, you know. And what I was able to do is to deliver for these folks, and, you know, gradually earn their trust, and that's how they kept giving me more and more responsibility. And
tremendous story, how you by serendipity almost get involved, and little by little, and your career and your world changes because of a given brunch. You know, it's how life is. Well, we have to take a break. I'm with an licenciado attorney, Andres Lopez. We'll be right back after this break.